You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, breaking down the Bucks Pacers coming up tonight. Matt, how you doing?
I'm great. Glad to be talking with you, Bill.
Let me ask you this first and foremost. Do you have any concern for this team after coming off back-to-back losses?
No, I'm not really that concerned. I think this is the kind of thing that happens. The Jazz game, you know, they were down two starters, five guards overall. The Suns game, they just didn't get up for it, didn't play very well. Their defense hasn't been great recently, but their offense has been. And I think that, you know, getting back home after a tough schedule, I think it'll be good for them. So I don't have any overwhelming concern. But we'll see, you know, if there's a cause for concern over the next couple of days with, you know, two home games coming up.
Well, that was going to be my next question. You got a couple of home games. You get a couple of days off to rest, relax from that long West Coast road trip. You've got a pesky Indiana team, a Charlotte team coming into the five serve on Saturday before you head back out again on a three-game road trip. You start out in San Antonio, then to New Orleans, then to Miami, basically the bottom half of the country, and then back home for a couple. But that being said, this Indiana team without Oladipo has remained tough. What has it been about Indiana that's made them so pesky?
Well, I think they still have a bunch of really good guys, and Bogdanovich has been playing really well. Miles Turner holding things down on the inside. Domantas Sabonis has been a really, you know, key piece off the bench, you know, even though he won't play tonight. Just they have a bunch of pieces that fit together. They play hard. They play good defense, and you know the defense is there regardless of Oladipo. And so they know what they are and what they're about. And so I think that's really helped them get past his absence, you know, which will continue, you know, to the rest of the season.
The Bucks, you know, they're kind of fitting in Mirotić, fitting in Pau Gasol. Obviously, Brogdon has played extremely well and played extremely steady along with Bledsoe. Middleton's been a little up and down. So how do you see this mix? How do you see this rotation going? Is it strictly matchup-oriented at this point with Bud, or is he comfortable with what he has, or is it just kind of like whoever has the hot hand is going to get the time?
You know, Bud's been pretty consistent about saying that he doesn't do, like, matchup-oriented stuff. You know, he likes to play, he likes to do things how they do them and who they are. He's been consistent with his starting unit. The rotations, he likes to get guys in and out, play about 10 guys, keep their minutes low. I think Mirotić and Ilyasova have been consistent guys off the bench that he's wanted to go to. Same with Tony Snell. The issues have been, you know, with George Hill out and Sterling Brown out, they've had to change up the guards off the bench. And now Gasol comes in, and so they've had to do a little bit of tweaking here and there. And they've had a bunch of injuries. You know, of course, Bledsoe and Brogdon missed that game on Saturday. And Giannis was limited against the Kings a week ago, and he missed the game last Monday and all that. So there's been a lot of injury flux and things changing. But overall, you know, they go into a game with a plan on how they want to do things, and they generally try and stick to that plan regardless of what the other team is doing. And I think that, you know, they'll keep doing it. That's who they are, and that's what they want to do.
Going back to the Bucks in this recent losing, I know that nationally some people are saying, well, you know what, they've played so far so well this season, but maybe a little bit above their heads. Maybe they're getting more out of guys they thought they would. Maybe this is them slowing down. I go back to your point. They obviously had a couple of injuries. They're mixing in some different guys in the lineup. They're experimenting right now with some different lineups. This is really no area of concern. So as you continue to move forward, I don't expect a major drop-off in the Bucks' productivity. But as we get down towards kind of the end of this season and we start to see this playoff scenario unfold, who matches up best with the Bucks and would give them the most fits, in your opinion, going into the postseason?
Yeah, I think I'd have to probably skip to, I mean, if you want to stay in the first round, I think Charlotte has given them trouble this year. If they end up being the 8th seed or the 7th seed, depending on if the Bucks can hold on to the 1, I think that they have a really good shot to do that. You know, Charlotte's given them some trouble in their 3 games so far. You know, Orlando obviously beat them once in a game that I don't think Giannis played. No, Giannis didn't play in that game. You know, and Miami obviously got them once down in Miami. So those teams, you know, they've each got them once, and they each provide their own issues. But the biggest thing will be in the second round, you know, where they'll face maybe a Boston or a Philadelphia. And those teams, you know, we haven't seen them play the Sixers since any of their trades. We've seen them play Boston, but, you know, in the wins that they've gotten against Boston, either Horford was missing and Morris was missing or Hayward was missing, and they've never really faced, you know, the full Celtics, you know, team, especially now that they're playing maybe a little bit better, at least for the moment, on their own West Coast trip. You know, so I'm interested to see kind of how those teams shake out in terms of who they are and what they look like. Because, you know, we haven't, like I said, we haven't seen the Bucks and the Sixers since their trade, so I don't really know exactly how that matchup will fare. But we'll see them twice before the end of the season. And the Celtics, it really all just kind of comes down to who they decide they want to be. We know that they have talent. We know they have guys, you know, who can play at a high level. It's just they've underachieved a lot this season. But if they can get to that A level that we think they can, then there'll be a major test for sure.
Talking with Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel. Now, your counterpart, J.R. Radcliffe, over there at the Journal Sentinel, dug into this piece by The Guardian, speaking with Malcolm Brogdon. He talked about Milwaukee being a racially segregated city. Some took that a little bit offensive. Others looked at it and said, okay, they understand where he's coming from. Give me your thoughts when you had a chance to read this as to the thoughts of Malcolm Brogdon and maybe, you know, other guys inside that locker room as they have thoughts on the city in which they wear Milwaukee across their chest.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just something where I think he went into it with open mind. You know, he had heard whatever he'd heard about Milwaukee, but he went into the city and said, I want to be a part of this community and see what it's all about. And, you know, he's lived here for a few years now. And from what he's seen, that's, you know, that's the reality that he's seeing. You know, that's from the viewpoint of someone who's gone out in the community and done events and, you know, who lives here and all that type of stuff, you know, that's what he's seen. And so, you know, he's totally welcome to that perspective. I think that there are some people who would agree with that. There are some people who would say, no, it's not like that, and here's why. And maybe, you know, I don't think he's against having a dialogue. I think he, in events that he's done with the Bucks, he's gone out and had dialogues with people in the community that have been open and that have been honest that, you know, I know he definitely has been involved. So, you know, I think that he's not coming at that in a way that's saying this is unfixable or something that, you know, makes him think Milwaukee's a terrible place. I think he thinks that if this is going to be where he lives, he wants it to be better. And so, I think that's kind of where he comes at it from. And, you know, that's, yeah, I think you want somebody who's thinking at least kind of in that way of trying to improve their community rather than just saying, oh, well, I only live here sometimes and, you know, forget about it.
Does something like that, I know because Peter Fagan tried to walk back the statement a little bit when he talked about the most racist or most segregated city, because I think he's trying to do a little bit of damage control for maybe those that thought that was a little bit over the top. But I agree with you in the sense that he's a very intelligent guy. This isn't like Malcolm Brogdon's just an idiot from the street. I mean, he's a well-read guy. He's a very smart guy, a very understanding guy. I don't think for fans that are listening to this, I don't think he meant it as, this is a bad city, I don't want to be here. He meant it as, this is a city I want to be a part of, but I want to make it better. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's a history in Milwaukee that goes beyond, you know, my time here, beyond Malcolm's time here, you know, where, you know, there have been situations that have not been the most, you know, equal or the most fair, you know, for people of different races. And, you know, that creates the neighborhoods and the setup of the city and the, you know, the makeup of the population. And, you know, there's obviously a kind of an effect that continues throughout time. And there's, you know, and you kind of see that where maybe certain people live, certain people don't live. You know, there's a whole lot to really get into it. But at the end of the day, this is, you know, how the city is how the city is, but it doesn't mean that's how it has to be.
Hey, before I let you go, we were talking earlier, you know, there have been a lot of different duos that have won championships and gone deep. Michael had Scotty, LeBron had, you know, Dwayne Wade, had Kyrie at one point. You got, obviously, Steph and KD. When we start to talk about this and you say Giannis and, who's kind of the and on this team? If they're going to say, okay, we're going to make this charge, and if it's not going to be Giannis, here's the guy to rely upon, who's the and on this team?
You know, I think that we saw last year with Chris Middleton. I think if that'd be the answer most people would give you. But the kind of the beauty of this Bucks team is that it can be Giannis and Bledsoe. It can be Bledsoe and Brogdon. Like, it can be, you know, there's a whole bunch of different combinations you can make, you know, on any given night that could be the guys who kind of really carry the heavy load. It could be Giannis and Brook Lopez. It could be Giannis and Mirotic. It could be Milton and Bledsoe doing their thing. Like, there have been just a whole bunch of combinations. And I think back to, you know, that championship Pistons team. They didn't have, you know, any player you would say was as good as Giannis. But they had a ton of good players, and they just kept bringing them in waves, and anybody could who could bring it. Obviously, Chauncey Billups, you know, played really well, but, you know, they still had, like, Rip Hamilton, Tayshaun Prince, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace. I mean, they had these guys who were just really high-level NBA players. And I think that's something that the Bucks, you know, kind of have in their pocket where, you know, they have a bunch of really talented guys. You know, you can go 10 deep, 11 deep, 12 deep of guys who are deserving of rotation minutes, not just with the Bucks, but they would be with other teams too. And so that's what they're going to need to rely on and be able to play different types of basketball depending on what their matchups are. Obviously, like I said, Bud doesn't like to talk about being a matchups-oriented team, but when you get into the playoffs, at some point you need to play matchups a little bit more than just the regular season. And so
hey, Matt,
one series, yep.
No, I was going to finish your thought here real quick.
Oh, yeah, one series you might, you know, need, like, Pau Gasol more, right? For instance, one series you might need him less. And so they can kind of play it like that a little bit.
Hey, before I let you go, I was going to ask you about Pau Gasol. Bringing in Pau Gasol, bringing in Mirotic, making those moves. I know they're bringing in guys that have experience. And some people look around and go, okay, is this it? This is the Bucks going for it. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think they figured out a way to not only get a couple guys who can contribute and fit in the rotation and have experience going into the playoffs and all that stuff, but they also did it while staying under the salary cap or under the luxury tax. Like, they're going to finish, like, you know, barely under the tax, which will allow them to have more opportunities next year in terms of free agents and mid-level reception and all that type of stuff. And so they went for it, but they also went for it in a way where they weren't, like, you know, going crazy. They weren't doing anything that was going to hamper them in the future. They left a lot of flexibility open.
Always good to chat, man. We will chat as the postseason draws near as well, okay?
Oh, good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, pal. There you go. Matt Velasquez. He is of the Journal Sentinel and covering the Milwaukee Bucks, getting you ready for tonight, which is going to be taking place down at the Fiserv Forum. Bucks tonight taking on the Indiana Pacers, and they're going to be tipping it off, trying to break that two-game losing streak. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.